Today, if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 19, verses 13 to 15. We'll be in these three verses. When I think of, when I see small passage like this, I see that it is more, it's something that is that I, or preachers, we got to unpack. It's probably a lot of deep meanings in it, and so with these three verses, there is a lot of weight to it. So, but if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Matthew chapter 19, verse 13 and 15. And if you can, let's stand and let's read God's word together. The word of God says this: Then children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. Jesus says, Leave the children alone, and don't try to keep them from coming to me, because the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. After placing his hands on them, he went on from there. You may have a seat. There are four joyous occasions in my life. The first one was 24 years ago, this past summer, 24 years ago, when I heard the gospel, and I finally realized that I needed Jesus. And I gave my life to Christ, or I surrendered my life to Christ at a youth camp. The second joyous occasion was when I asked Jill on our wedding day, it's like, you know, will you marry me? She goes, yes, you know, yes, I do. I take you, you know, you big buffoon, to be my husband, and hopefully things work out. It's been 17 years. The third joyous occasion in my life was the birth of my son. We've been trying to have kids for a while, and I remember just holding Liam at the hospital, and I'm just crying, and just like, man, this is it, you know. I'm gonna teach him how to hunt, I'm gonna teach him how to fish, I'm teaching him how to fight, I'm gonna teach him how to do everything that, you know, the guy should do, you know, teach him how to, you know, drive a car, and you know, I'm gonna teach him. This is so awesome. Like, I get him, I have my son. The fourth joyous occasion was when Evelyn was born, and that was a different joy. I was happy that I have a little princess. And I was sad because one day I'm going to have to be walking her down the aisle. And then there was rage and wrath because now I'm going to hurt anyone who hurts her. Right? There was just uncontrollable anger. Like, if any guy or man or boy hurts her, like, that is it. Like, there is no 1, 2, 3. It's just 1, 200. That's it. Joyous occasion, four joyous occasions in my life. Today, I have the task of preaching these three verses. And again, I say, these three verses have a lot of weight to it. A lot of weight to it. We live in a time of culture where our children are under attack every day. They are taught the wrong things. They are confused. And so with this task, these verses, it presents a big task for us as parents. Jesus loves the little children. He created them. Children is a blessing from God. Psalms 127, they are a blessing from God. I see my two little kids, and they give me headaches, but they are also a blessing. And it's my task to raise them, to love them, to encourage them, to walk alongside of them, to teach them, to hold them. It is a task that is daunting. It is not an easy task. No parenting book, no young parent book ever told me about the 2 hours interval in the first 3 months. I call it the zombie hours, where the child wakes up every hour, every 2 hours, and you got to feed, and then you put that child to bed, and then within like a short period of time, that child wakes up. I call it the zombie hour because there were several times where I fed Evelyn through her ear. I mean, I was just that tired. I'm pulling her. No books have told me, hey, you know, you're going to be tired, right? You know, get some sleep before. So now I tell young fathers, hey, your wife is pregnant, right? Your baby is going to be here anytime soon. Hibernate, right? Hibernate until, because when the baby gets here, you're going to need all the energy you can. Hibernate. It is a task that is lifelong on earth. I will never stop being a father, a parent, until I enter glory. Jill will never stop being a mother, a parent, until she enters glory. You know why? Because when I go visit my parents, they still give me exhortation, right? I like to call it exhortation. Some people call it lecture, but I call it exhortation because it's kind encouragement. It says, hey, you know, I know you're raising a kid like this, but why don't you do this, right? Or why don't you do this better? You better not hurt my daughter. You better not hurt my son, right? My mom calls her grandkids her son and daughter, right? I'm like, all right, mom. Geez, like, I wish I got that kind of treat when I was growing up, right? And so it is a task that will continue to grow. Even when I told Liam one day, even when you're 25 years old, 30 years old, you're married, you have kids, I'm still going to be your dad, and I'm still going to love you. And I'm still going to give you some advice, right? I'm still going to walk with you, train you. And I'm going to spoil your grandkids, right? I'm going to spoil my grandkids, right? I'm going to spoil your kids with you, right? I'm still going to give you advice, right? Because I'm your father, and I think I know more. Jill will continue to be a mother to Evelyn and Liam. To the day she enters glory, she will give advice. Because all mothers know best, right? So it is a daunting task that does not end. It ends when we close our eyes into glory. I am not an expert on children, right? I don't have any prefix or suffix between my name. But as I read this, as I read the Word of God, the gospel is important, and that is enough for me to give us pointers today. Pointers on how to teach our kids, work with our kids, love our kids. Right? Today, just so you know, I did not pick on any family in here. So if I'm teaching today and giving you pointers, right, I wasn't picking on you. I'm not picking on you. I was showing what I do with my family, what I practice with my family. So today I'm giving you five pointers, what I do with my family. The first is, so the context of this text is that Jesus, the parents have heard about this Jesus, and so from far away they are bringing their children, other texts, other gospel says that even infants to Jesus for them so that he can pray for them and bless them. See, when I read this passage, I resonate with that because as a pastor, when I go and visit Hmong Christian families, they ask, Pastor, can you pray for my kids before you go? Can you lay hands on my kids and pray? I resonate with this. So the parents, they hear Jesus is in town. So they're bringing all their children to Jesus so that he may lay a hand on them and bless them. Say a special prayer for them. But the disciples, you know, you figure these disciples will have it by now. They're like, they were stopping the parents. Hey, stop bringing your kids, right? Jesus don't have time for your kids, right? He doesn't have time for little Johnny, little Susie, little Liam, little Evelyn, right? Stop. The text says that they were continuing to stop the parents from bringing their kids to Jesus. Jesus, lead the children along. Don't try to keep them from coming to me, because the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Jesus rebukes the disciples and allows the children to come, and he lays hands on them. He prays for them. The first point I want to give us is make church a common and familiar place for your children. Make church a common and familiar place for your children. See, the church is a place for worship, right? We have to respect that, right? When I was in college choir, we would go and sing at different churches, mostly Baptist church. And my choir professor would say, hey, when you get to this church, do not touch anything, right? Do not touch the keyboard, right? Just go in and just stand until they say, hey, you can have a seat, right? Be respectful. And so I learned that right away, right? When you go into a Southern Baptist church, right, you sit there, right? You don't touch anything. You don't touch the piano. You don't touch anything. You just stand until they say, okay, you can have a seat, you know, or lunch is served here, because sometimes people like their stuff untouched. Make the church a common place. Have your children be familiar with the church. Teach your children to be respectful to the place, to the facility, but let them be familiar with this. Oh, this is where I have Sunday school. That's my classroom right there. Your kids come walking in. Yeah, hey, that's where I have Sunday school. That's where I have children's church. Get them comfortable coming to church. As the parents are taking kids, their children, to Jesus, take our kids to church. We don't have a Jesus walking around nowadays preaching, so we can't take it to him. But the place of worship, the church, FBI here, we can make our church a common and familiar place for our children. I want my kids to come to church, and if they invite their friends, like, hey, that's where I go to Sunday school. That's my dad's office up there. He has a lot of junk in there. That's where we sing praise to God. This is where we eat. This is where we have VBS. This is the box where we put food for homeless people. Get your children familiar with the church. Get them comfortable, familiar. Make the church a common place. Because if you make the church a common place, they will gladly come to church. They won't feel like, well, that's not my church. That's weird. That's FBI. And so there's some dissonance there. But we make the church comfortable and familiar, our kids will gladly come. That's why I learned from Pastor Luke from Bergmar. It says, make the church fun for your family. Fun for your family. So what I learned is that if my kids want to play basketball, yeah, we can go to church, right? It's the church, but it's also our church. We are part of the church. We are one family. Yes, you can play basketball. If my wife wants to play pickleball, we'll come set up the pickleball net. If it's raining, we'll come set up the pickleball net, and we'll play pickleball. If my wife wants to play volleyball, we'll set up and play volleyball. Right? So make the church common with your family. Make it familiar. So they don't feel like it's not our church, right? You don't ever want your children saying, well, that's FBI. That's their church, right? That's not my church. You want your children to say, that's my church. That's where we go to church. Grandpa, that's where we go to church. That's my classroom. Grandma, that's my church. This is where we have children's church. This is where we have VBS. This is where my dad sits. That's where my dad works. This is where Fess makes breakfast for us. We can worship anywhere, you say. Well, do we have to come to church? Well, can we worship anywhere, anytime? Yes, yes. Well, there's something special about Sunday worship. It's a gathering of the saints. There are places in close country where the saints, they would risk their lives to meet and to gather and to pray with each other. Why not make the church comfortable for our kids? Why not make the church a common and familiar place for our kids? Other believers are dying to meet. Let's do that with our kids. Let's do that with our family. Make the church comfortable. Make the church common. Make the church familiar. Well, could I just do online? Could I just do online church? Yeah, there's convenience in online church, but you will never get the fellowship. You will never get the prayer. You will never get to see the people, talk to people, the interactions with the people, with the saints. You can't have children's church online. You can't have VBS. Imagine having VBS online. How crazy would that be? We're taking you to class 305, right? Let's have, back in 2020 when we had to close down our church and I had to record lessons for you, it was the hardest because I was trying to be joyful speaking to a camera as the message was being recorded. And I'm just like, I like interactions on Wednesday night when I'm teaching my youth. I like to interact. Someone's on their phone. I just do the, hey, stop, put your phone away. I know you're not on your Bible app, I like to ask questions. I like to pause. I like to throw in a joke. That's what I like. I like interaction. I like being with the saints. Sunday school. We can't have Sunday schools online, but we can have Sunday school when we meet in person. I miss being in class with our youth that year. I long for it. Now we're back, so they're with me every Wednesday night. So make the church common. Well, also come to church and take your children to church. Don't drop off your children. You come, you walk with them, you tell them where to go, you encourage them. We drive all over the place for reasons unknown, for reasons known. Like Thursday before the hurricane hit, we went to Spirit Halloween in the rain, in the pouring rain. I went and got Liam his costume for Halloween. Like, how crazy is that, right? But we won't spend all that effort, pour all the effort into taking our children to church. We'll drive them all over the town. We'll drive them all over to stores. We'll drive them all over the city, the state, the world for a family trip. But we won't make that same effort to take our kids to church. We won't make that same effort to make the church a common and familiar place for our kids. Take them here, take them to church, bring them to church, and tell them why. Why it's important. It is to worship God. It is to gather with the saints. Do you make the church a common place, a familiar place of worship for your kids? Do you, when you go home, do you talk how good the church is, or do you talk bad how about the church is? Oh, FBI, worship sucks. You know, wish we had a full band. Wish we had a full band. Wish we had some lighting. You know, if we had some more lighting, I think it would be cooler. If we had a full band, it would be a lot better. Your kids are listening. Your attitude, they know. You talk bad about the kids, it's going to come out. So do you make the church a common and familiar place of worship for the kids? There's not a Jesus walking around preaching, and you can't take your children to church, to Jesus, but you can take your children here to church. The disciple rebuked the people, but Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me." In 2022, Disney spent $7.2 billion on advertising. In 2023, Disney spent $6.4 billion on advertising itself. Who are the targets? Your kids, your wallet. Right? They spend, you have streaming service, you got commercials, you got stores, you got toys. Disney's buying up all these other companies. And they're spending billions and billions of dollars after your kids. Companies are paying influencer and kid influencer. I thought it was just one category, but now apparently they have influencer like fashion, makeup, guns. That's what I do when I go on YouTube. I subscribe to gun owners, and you know. And then there's kids influencer, right? Kids toy. I got a dose of it growing up. Liam's like, "Well, I want this toy. Why? Because this, you know, one of my YouTubers was playing it, and I want it." "Well, how much is it?" "I don't know, but I want it." "Well, we'll wait for Christmas. Why don't we wait till after Christmas and when it goes on sale?" "No, I want it now." Influencer. Companies are paying these top influencers a lot of money to advertise their stuff. From Mr. Beast to Ryan's World to Ryan's Toy Review. As of February 2024, the most subscribed YouTube channel did not include popular videos only popular video games commentators or comedy creators, but also children-specific channels such as nursery rhymes like Coco Melon, Diana's Show, and like Nastia. Some of you are like, "What is that?" Your kids know about it. Coco Melon, your kids know about it. Mr. Beast, your kids know about it. Right? Ryan's World, your kids know about it, because once you search for something, your algorithm comes up, and then it just autoplays, and there it is. Right? There it is. My second point is invest in your children. If all these companies are already investing billions of dollars into our children to get you to spend your money, which will probably happen, and to influence our children in a negative way, they're spending lots of money. Second one is invest. We as a church, as Christian parents, we are to invest in our children's spiritual walk. Everyone needs the gospel. Connor, can you put on the picture? Everyone needs the gospel, right? One way how we can do it is that we need the gospel. Invest in our kids' spiritual walk. This is the image that we were at Fuge this summer, and one night I was just looking at it. I was like, "Wow, this is. I think I know what that means, right? I think this is the gospel presentation, right? The circle means that God has created all things. It was good, perfect. The circle with the line inside it was in sin. We sin. Adam sin, and the relationship between God and man has been broken. The cross, the arrow down, was when God sent his son, right? No sacrifice, no animal sacrifice would suffice the wrath of God. So God sent his one and only son, the Lamb of God, down. The cross is the crucifixion of Christ. Jesus died for our sin. While we were still sinners at the right time, God sent his son to die for our sin. The little upside down you is the empty tomb. Jesus did not stay dead, but was resurrected on the third day. The arrow at a 45 angle is his ascension back to the Father. And the arrow back down is King Jesus is going to return soon. The gospel is essential to all. If you're going to invest in your children, invest the gospel into your children. Talk about it. Teach them. Discuss about it. Do all things. If companies are spending billions and billions of dollars, and I know that we don't have, hopefully, no one has billions and billions of dollars sitting in the bank account, right? But with the times that we have, with the money that we have, with the influence that we have over the kids, let's invest the gospel into our kids. Teach your children about the gospel. Psalms 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Deuteronomy 18 to 21 says, you shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and you should bind them as a sign on your hand. And they should be a frontlet between your eyes. You should teach them to your children, taking of them when you are sitting in your house, when you are walking by the way, and when you lay down, and when you rise. You shall write them on the doorsteps of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land that the Lord has sworn to your fathers to give them, as long as the heavens are above the earth. Joshua 4:21-24 says, and he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, what does these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know that Israel passed over the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did in the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over. So that all the people of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Invest in your children. Have Bible discussion. Talk about the sermon. Talk about Wednesday night. Youth service. Talk about a Wednesday night. When you go home with your children on Wednesday night, talk about it. Right? What did you learn? What did Pastor Lord teach? They may say some weird stuff, like something about a red dragon and the lamb. I don't know, some weird stuff. You know, talk. Get them talking. Get them talking. Talk about children's church. Ask your children. What did you learn today in children's church? What did Ms. Jill teach you in children's church today? Oh, something about Orioles and division. Yes, it's about the kingdom divide. Buy them a Bible, the actual Bible. Buy them a Bible. Same thing as just buying them a Bible. I think we have gotten so lazy to the point where this has become a nuisance to us, right? This carrying this has become a nuisance to us. So instead, we would rather go for something like this because it's so convenient, right? It's so convenient, and it's in here. We can look it up. We can look up some weird, like Nehemiah. Where is that in the Bible, right? So we look up on an app. Buy our kids actual Bibles. One day, these phone companies will say, you know what? The Bible is not what we represent. We will no longer allow these apps to be on our device. Right? Buy them a Bible, right? Buy them actual Bible. Right? I got Evelyn one. I got Liam one. I just got Liam one this past week in men's devotion. I told him, I know you're just a little 9-year-old, but you know what? I'm going to buy you this, right? Because I know that I'm going to read it with you, go through it with you, and I hope and pray that you will become a man of God. So here's your Bible, son. I wrote his name on it. I wrote my name on it. I wrote the date on it. Invest in your kids. Invest. Invest in your kids. If not, if this is too much, put the Bible on your app. I put the Bible on my son's app. I put the Bible app on my son's phone. So if he ever needs it, it's there at the touch of a button, right? It's there, the Bible app. Chaperone with your children, Spend time. Invest your time. Not just money, but time. When we go on a youth trip, come along. Your kids might hate it, but you know what? Come along. Come along with us to Fuge. Chaperone. Invest your time. Invest your money. Chaperone with us. As Joe and I, as we do youth events, come, see what we're doing, ask questions, make fun of your kids when you're at our youth events. We try to have fun. Be ready in season, out of season, to tackle hard questions. That means that if you want to invest your kids, that means that you got to be in God's Word. God's Word. In times like this, your kids are asking why. If this God, as the prayer was, pray earlier, right? This is, the gospel is essential. Because in this time, kids are asking, well, if God is loving, if God is so good and loving, why would he allow this hurricane to hit North Carolina? We see all the deaths. Why? Where? Can I trust this God who didn't stop the storm? Can I trust this God? Is this God really loving? Invest time in your children by studying the Word of God so you will be ready in season and out of season. See, it is the pastor's job, but it's also your job as parents to know the Word of God. Right? You don't need a Bible scholar degree. You don't need some prefix and suffix between your name to talk truth. All you do is you just got to really read, study, and really believe it. Read it, study it, believe it, and teach it, preach it to your kids unapologetically. Teach it faithfully. Teach about God's sovereignty, that God allowed the storm to happen, right? Even though there's a lot of death throughout human history, God has allowed certain things to happen. God has allowed certain things to happen that caused lots of death. We talk about the flood, Noah's time. Talk about his sovereignty. Talk about God's faithfulness. That even though there is death, God provided a way out, and that's through Jesus. Faithfulness. Even when we're faithless, God is faithful. God is still in control. God is still good. Teach about God's plan and purpose in Genesis. Gender and role. Gender and role. We are instilling this in our kids, our children. Like, religiously, like, Liam, you are a boy. Evelyn, you are a girl, right? Liam, you go to a boy's bathroom. Evelyn, you go to a girl's bathroom, right? So we are instilling in this in our kids. I'm telling you, Liam, God has unique roles for you. Evelyn, God has a unique role for you, right? Liam, you are to be a father one day. Evelyn, you are to be a mother one day, right? And by the mercy and grace of God, you bear children. Liam, you are not to bear children. Right, you are to be a husband, a household leader. So we are instilling this in our kids. As mean as it sounds, as our kids need it. Because again, companies are spending billions and billions of dollars trying to get our kids to their side, to the dark side. And yeah, we're just sitting back, you know, relax. We need to be in the forefront, fighting. Presenting, preaching the gospel, proclaim the gospel to our kids, to our children. Don't ever apologize about preaching the gospel. Don't ever apologize about holding firm to God's word. The disciples were rebuking the people. Jesus says, do not hinder them. Do not hinder. There's a church that had added a Thursday night service for families that do sports, that does sports travel on weekends, or like to go camping, so that they can come to church twice a month. There is a church that just started a Thursday night service to accommodate. I say no. I'm not in. I stand in this area where I'm not in agreement with this, because I believe that you show who you worship by the time that you invest. Right? So the third pointer is, don't make Jesus an option on Sunday. Don't make Jesus an option on Sunday. Exodus 28 says this: remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. Keep it holy, remember the Sabbath. Don't make Jesus an option on Sunday. Because if you make Jesus an option on Sunday, it only takes one generation for them to wander off, for your kids, your grandkids to wander off, God. We see from Judges 2:7, it's just one generation. Joshua prays for the people. He reminds people of God's goodness before they before he ends his life. The land has been divided. Everyone has their land. And the people says, we will worship God, right? It is God who brought us out of Egypt. It is the Lord God Almighty who gave us victory. Yes, we will worship God. Within a generation, the text tells us that they did not know God. It doesn't take 2-3 generations. It only takes one. Do not make Jesus an option on Sunday. Because if you make Jesus an option on Sunday, guess what? Jesus will be an option in life. Right? You make Jesus an option on Sunday, guess what? Now there's an option. Now he's just optional in life. Well, I don't have to believe in Jesus, right? If I can just do good, I'll go to heaven. Right? If I just be good enough, do good enough, if I just maybe come to church Easter and Christmas, that's good enough, right? I mean, God loves good people, right? Now, show your children the importance of Sunday worship by attending, by taking them, by worshiping, by singing, by giving, by service, serving one another. Show your children the importance of personal worship. I have made a rule with my kids that it doesn't matter where we're going, unless we're on a highway, right? And I can't get the signal. We have to worship. We're coming back from Michigan, and I was driving through Ohio, and it's 9:15, and I'm trying to get the service started, and you know, and First Baptist Icon, I'm like, God, I want our kids, you know, I want my family to listen to Pastor Michael as he's preaching. So I'm driving, I'm trying to get the link up, and it was that day that Pastor Michael says that, you know, we have some technical difficulties that the video cannot be put on. But even in case situations like that, I want my family to worship. And that is a rule that Jill and I, we make. That Jesus is top priority on Sundays, every day. Not just Sundays, but every day. We make Jesus priority. Because if we make Jesus priority on Sundays, it becomes priorities in our life. It becomes priority in Jill's life. It becomes priority in our kids' life. Show your children the importance of family worship. As Joshua tells the Israelites how the goodness of God, he says this in Joshua 24, verses 14 to 15. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him sincerely and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your father served beyond the river in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it's evil in your eye to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether that the gods of your fathers serve in the region beyond the river, all the gods of the Amorite whose lands you dwell. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Jill and I, we have made that our family prayer. That we will, my household, the Zongs, we will serve the Lord. Whether we're traveling, whether we're flying, we will serve the Lord. We will try to do everything we can to hear God's word. Whether we're visiting my in-laws or my parents, we will go to church. There's no excuse. Okay? Have family Bible devotion. Have family worship time. At the end of human history, no human rewards, achievement, success will stand. All will burn. All will bow down. Right? We can look at accomplishments. And at the end of human history, all knees will bow, bend. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. At the end of human history, it is only Christ who is worthy. None of our human success will ever stand up to it. Because we are not worthy to open the scroll. None of us are. not Paul, not Noah, not Moses, but only Jesus. He is worthy to open the scroll. That's from Revelation, so that's what I'm talking, you know, teaching my kids the Revelation. So you're like, what scroll? It is from Revelation, where the Lamb opens the scroll, and out comes the four horsemen and the seals. But the end of human history, our desires for our kids' success, our achievement will not matter. There will be a great separation that one day, whether you're going to be with God for eternity or away from God for all eternity, that's all that matters. God is not going to let you go and say, hey, you did pretty well, Liam. You got straight A's. You did pretty well in math, ping pong as well. Hey, you're pretty good in pickleball. You know, enter my kingdom. God is not going to do that. God is going to say, Liam, you have Jesus. You have my son. The blood of my son covers you. Come. Well done, good and faithful servant. We teach our kids to seek the kingdom of God first. Success comes second, comes third. If my kids are successful and they leave the faith, I fail as a parent. I fail. If my son becomes a popular medical doctor, a successful medical doctor, a lawyer, an engineer, a ramen shop owner, and leaves the faith, I fail. And I want to invest my time to my kids. So one day, they're like, you know what? Jesus. In times of trouble, Jesus. At the end of human history, at the end, when my kids close their eyes, it's Jesus that they seek. Make Jesus the priority. I'm not saying that sports is bad. I'm not saying every other thing is bad. I'm not saying the other things on Sunday is bad. I'm saying for my family, we make Jesus the priority. And I want to encourage you, make Jesus the priority, the main priority. Because if Jesus is the priority on Sunday, then soon Jesus will be the priority in their life. I hope that my kids make Jesus the priority in their life. Not just Sunday with Jesus, we put on the Christian hat, Jesus, we love you, and then Monday to Friday, it's like, nope. Well, you know, I'm putting on a different cap. No, if we make Jesus priority on Sunday, he becomes a priority in our life. But to such belongs the kingdom, Jesus responds. To such, Jesus was talking about childlike faith. When we think of a child, we think of helplessness, defenselessness. We think of dependency. When my daughter says, Daddy, I want mac and cheese, I don't say, whoa, baby girl, get the mac and cheese, you know, bring it here, open it, right, and I'll teach you how to make it, right? So I teach my daughter how to make mac and cheese. But there is a dependence on the Father. Right? Jesus telling his disciples, he takes this moment to teach the disciples and the people around what it means, what one of the characteristics of the citizens of heaven, and that's to be childlike faith. That means to be dependent on the Heavenly Father, to be helpless in need of the Heavenly Father, to be defenseless and depending on the Heavenly Father. It is to be humble before the Heavenly Father. Fourth point is this, right? Model Jesus before your children. Model Jesus. This past summer, my kids, they went to a monk camp. It's called Goo Camp. So on the last day or so, they show us a little poster. This four quadrants, and they have to draw and write down what they love, what they like, you know, what inspires them, you know, what happens in the family. And as I go around looking at other kids, there was Bud Light, there was Corona, there was beer, right? And I get to my kids, I'm like, all right, I see a lot of beers. If my kids put on beer, he's getting in trouble because I do not drink at home, right? And so if I see beer in this last quadrant, this last square here, there's some discipline going on. I get there and I see cases of water. And I'm thinking, yes, we have cases of water. But what is that? Because on volleyball, Friday nights, we buy cases of water for our among students and anyone that comes to play volleyball to drink. So my son sees me buying cases of water, filling our coolers with cases of water with ice, and so it's like, I think I did okay. You know, I hope I was able to model servanthood to my son, love for the community for my son. So both my kids have cases of water in that last quadrant. I was like, Jill, we dodged a bullet this time. You know, let's keep trying. Let's keep teaching our kids Jesus. That the four quadrants were filled with Jesus. Servanthood. Your children are watching you and listening to you. They will repeat what you say. They will act out what they see. Sometimes I'm having a discussion with Liam. He's like, but you said this. And I'm like, yes, I did. I apologize. Let's step back, right? Let's do some more dialogue. Or sometimes Liam said, well, you know, my dad said this one time, and I was like, what? Like, you have the ear to listen to my conversation, but you don't have the ears when I tell you to clean your room, right? That means selective hearing. Our kids are listening. They are watching. They're watching how we act as parents. Do we walk the talk? We claim that God is so good. Do we walk the talk? They're watching, and they're ready to imitate. Sometimes I see my son acting out. I'm like, where did you get this attitude from? Have you been watching YouTube? Yes. If you use a specific word, I said, where did you get that? Where did you get that from? Because mommy and daddy don't use that word here. Right? Our kids are watching and waiting and ready to imitate. Let that imitation be after a faithful, Christ-fearing father and mother, or a figure, a leader. Model Christ's likeness before your children. Just as Jesus tells the disciples that Christ-likeness, humility, humbleness, dependence on the Father, is characteristic of a citizen of heaven, our attitude should be the same. Dependence on the Father. Giving all the glory to the Father. Giving praises to the Father. Discipline when necessary. Right? If you model Jesus, you want to model discipline when necessary. Now, morning, I'm not going to discipline your kids on Wednesday night, right? That's not my job. That's your job. I'm not telling you how to discipline. But at the Zong's Minor, the Zong's Estate, we discipline. I discipline when necessary. Right. Whoever spares the rod hates the son, but whoever loves him is diligent to discipline. Proverbs 13:24. The rod reproves, gives wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Proverbs 29:15. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. If you strike him with a rod, you will save himself from Sheol. My son, if your heart is wise, my heart too will be glad. Proverbs 23:13-15. Gospel discipline. Right? Discipline when necessary. I was disciplined in my life. I was disciplined until I got to high school. I got the dress shoes. I now got the belt. I got the dress shoes. I got the branch. I got the broom. All the good stuff. But God, discipline is necessary. I'm not telling you that you should discipline. That's between you. But in my family and how I raise my kids to be Christ-like, I discipline. Now there's good cop and bad cop. Jill plays the good cop, right? Jill is soft, so the kids are like, oh, you know, we'd rather go to mommy. I'm more like the last. I'm more like executioner, right? You know, if mommy can't work with you, right? She sends the kids to me, and I'm sitting there. I'm like, what you do this time, right? How do you want your punishment? I'm executioner. But it's needed. I feel like our society is lacking discipline. It's needed. Gospel discipline is needed, especially in a Christian home. So again, your kids are safe on Wednesday night. If they come with marks and stuff, that's not me. I won't touch your kids. But at the Zong's Minor, the Zong's Estate, we discipline. I discipline. K Can your children say to you, in response to this, can your children say, my mom and daddy loves Jesus? Can, do you model Jesus well enough for your children where they say, my mommy and daddy loves Jesus? My daddy loves Jesus. My daddy serves the church because he loves Jesus. My daddy did this because he loves Jesus. My daddy was Christ-like. He modeled Jesus. Can your children say that about you? Jesus laid his hand on them and went away. He took the time to pray for the kids, taught a lesson, made a point, and laid his hand on the children, all the children, prayed for them, and they went away. No better memory of my mom than the times where she prayed with us and for us. Even when I was in middle school, high school, she prayed for us and with us. Last pointer, number five, is pray for your children. Pray with your children. Like prepping for a marriage, no parenting book will ever prepare you for children. Like I said earlier, they don't tell you certain things. They don't tell you that formulas and diapers are expensive. We're thinking about, hey, for our baby shower, let's get all these cute stuff. And then I realized that, oh my goodness, diapers, oh, they're expensive. Formulas, oh my goodness, like we're spending close to $100, you know, just for formulas and diapers. I'm thinking, boy, let's go back to cloth diapers and let's go back the old ways, you know, let's, but money, parenting, nothing. But what we can do is pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Pray for your children. Pray with your children. Oswald Chambers says, prayer does not equip us for the greater works. It is the greater work. It is the greater work. Pray. Pray with your children. Pray for your children. Pray with them. Let them see you pray. Let them see you pray. Let them see you speak out to the Lord. Let them imitate you. It's tough sometimes when I have youth and I'm praying, hey, can you pray? And they're like, no. It's like, do you pray? No. It's parents, you got to pray, right? You got to pray in front of your kids. You teach them how to pray. Make them pray. Get them comfortable praying. I teach Liam, hey, pray, right? Pray, dear Lord. Simple as pray as, dear Lord, thank you for the food. Amen. And now he prays the prayer every day. It's all right, Liam. I think you're mature enough where you can start, you know, thinking, praising God about other things. Now he's beginning to expand his prayer. But pray for your children. Pray with your children. Let them see you pray. Let them imitate you. Growing up, no one taught me how to pray, right? I just listened to my dad pray, my mom pray, the church member, the deacons, the elders, the pastor pray, and I just mimic after them, right? I just mimic after them. Right? And then first time I had to pray in my youth, I was nervous. I was nervous. Youth service, I had to pray for youth service. I was afraid. So you know what I did? I wrote down on an index card my prayer. And I was embarrassed that people would know that I wrote down my prayer. So I bowed my head kind of, you know, way more spiritual than other people. So I was reading my prayer. At the end, one of the band leader goes, you wrote that prayer, didn't you? I thought, yes, I did. I'm sorry. You know, no, it's cool, man. It's cool. Get your kids comfortable praying. Pray with your kids. Pray for your kids. Get them comfortable praying. Pray, pray, pray. Teach your kids how to pray so that in the times of trouble, they remember to pray. Teach your kids how to pray that in times of need, they will pray. This week, earlier this week, there was a story on social media, on TV, about a mom named Megan who lost her parents and son. Her son's name was Micah in the flood. They were on the flood. They were on the roof and during this flood, and they thought it was a safe point until the building collapsed. The building collapsed. And they were holding on for their dead lives. In Micah's last moment, he was screaming, not out to his mom, but to Jesus. To Jesus. Calling out to Jesus. I hope and pray that in times like this, that all kids will cry out to Jesus. In times of need, that they will cry out to Jesus. Pray, pray, pray. teach them how to pray. Let them imitate you. There is no book. There is no steps. This is the five steps that you do, and your children will become perfect God-fearing. All we can do is do our part as parents. We can do, Jill and I, there's no guarantee that in 10 years, Lean will become this awesome, God-fearing man. There is no guarantee that as Ellen hits high school, that I'm not going to lose more here. Right? There is no guarantee. There's no five steps. All we do is pray for our kids. We do our part as parents. We invest in our kids. We take them to church. We talk about Jesus with them. We invest the gospel in them. We love on them. We teach them. While the world is making disciples of our kids, we need to step up and stand firm and take the battle and make disciples of our kids that will love and follow Jesus. There is no easy step. Parenting is hard, but if we do our part, God is faithful in doing his part. Make the church a common place and familiar place of worship for our children. Invest in our children's spiritual walk. Make Jesus the whole priority, not just Sunday, but the whole priority. Model Jesus in the good times and the bad times. When there's a flat tire, when a guy cuts you off in traffic, when there's a stranger trying to break into your house, model Jesus. Pray, pray, pray. God is faithful. God is faithful. Our God has not not left us alone. Says, all right, Lord, you're on your own. You know, you're on your own. He is faithful. We do our part. God is faithful to do his part. And that is my prayer, that Joe and I, we are faithful to do our part. We have a God who's powerful, who controls the storm, who is good, who is merciful, and who is faithful. Do our part. As Angel comes up, I want us to respond. Maybe today, maybe you just need to pray for your children. Right? Maybe you want to gather around, you want to just pray for your children. That's fine. Maybe you want to come up here and pray. Maybe you want to ask God to give you wisdom and insight. That's fine. The front is open. Maybe you just want to pray. Maybe you have gone, right? You have gone, you have done raising kids, right? Pray for our children's ministry here, right? You can. Pray that we have people who love Jesus that will come in and will teach the gospel unapologetically for our kids. Pray for me as I teach our youth. The battle is getting tougher. They think that, you know, pastors, we don't know nothing because we don't have, you know, all these prefixes and suffixes in our name. We didn't go to like these big colleges. Right? Pray for Michael, Alex, and I as we teach. Pray for Elsa as we teach our kids, that we teach it faithfully. Pray for us. If you are a young couple who don't have children yet, pray that you will be a godly husband, a godly wife that will stand firm for the gospel. And if you're a youth here, pray that you'll be submissive to your parents. Right? Listen to your parents. Pray. Respond. Would you respond? Would you respond as Andrew leads in worship?